The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
My name is Emily. If you're visiting today, I'm one of the ministers here. Today we're going to continue talking about our core values. We've been talking about these the past few weeks, and we hope and we communicate these because we want you to take hold of these and we want you to live these out. Otherwise, they're just words on a piece of paper. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have two people talking to you. Don't fall asleep and don't run out. It's not going to be the length of two sermons. I'm going to talk for a little while, and then Dave's going to get up and talk too, just so you're informed what's happening. For those of you who don't know me, my husband and I just lived in the States for a year and a half, and we just got back a few months ago. While we were there, we were wrestling with whether to come back or not. And I feel like there was a point where God, while comforting us, he has a sense of humor, and I feel like he used that on us. We went to a church where people were praying for us, wrestling with us. And they said that one day they came up to us and said, "We feel like we need to read to you Psalm 23, verse 4. And this is what it says. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," just want to state that America was not that bad, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And then a little while later, I found this picture. If you squint, it kind of looks like Rod, I think. I had a good laugh. But in all seriousness, it was amazing to have a family here that were praying for us and a family there that were praying for us. And through all of that time, I really felt a belonging through a spiritual family. And I could have a good laugh because I think God's hilarious. So today our core value is belonging through spiritual relationships. Here is what the description says. LifeStreams is committed to connecting people in accountable and authentic relationships where people are engaging in the word and prayer and are open to embracing others to join them. It's interesting, as I have prepared today, I haven't really felt this belonging. And it's in these moments that I actually praise God, because it makes me realize that probably there's a lot of us here who feel that way sometimes. I just want to acknowledge that a lot of us here probably have been hurt, some of that by the church and some by Christians. And if that's you, I want to encourage you today to not switch off. We have a tendency to protect ourselves and to withdraw, but I think by doing that, we miss what God has in store through community. So today I pray that you will really be open to what God might be doing through you. Maybe this rain is for you to cleanse those wounds. Now, since I've been back, I've had an amazing opportunity to catch up with loads of people of all different ages, not just youth and young adults, but all right across the boards. And it's interesting that I have actually heard on so many people saying that this is the cry of their heart, that they want this belonging so badly, and they want this connection, and they want it on a deeper level, this spiritual level. Today, we're going to unpack this a little bit, Dave and I, so we're going to try to figure out what this looks like. It's not fluffy, it's real life, and we've got to put some words to that. So right now I want to look at John 17. We have a picture of this in God. So Jesus tells us, "The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them. So they'll be as unified and together as we are, I and them and you and me." I love this verse, as confusing as it is sometimes. I and them and you and me and I and you and them and us. And I think it's just a beautiful picture of connection and belonging. Obviously, it's about unity as well, but we're going to talk about that another week. So firstly, this shows us that we are to be connected to Christ. I think this passage shows us that Christ invites us to jump into the belonging of his community. This passage also shows us that these spiritual relationships happen on many levels. When I read this core value originally, my thought went straight to small groups. And then through spiritual relationships, you kind of think one-on-one. But I do believe that as God moves in individual lives, that the whole church culture shifts. I think this happens right across the board, because in that passage it was talking about all disciples, not just a couple. I experienced this shift in this church culture last year in the church that we were at in America. When we visited the first time, it was amazing to me that you could actually just feel the love in the place. That sounds probably pretty cheesy, feel the love. But I couldn't quite put my finger on what this intangible thing was, the something that they had. So I got to know a woman there that I did ask one day, what is it? What is this thing that I'm feeling? And she started to describe to me the relationships that she had with people. And she said that she could bring anything to her friends at that church. Didn't matter what image she had, didn't matter what it was, but that they would fight with her, they would stand with her, they would pray with her, they would support her. She said that she described it as holding back a wall of oppression and spiritual attack through prayer and fighting a spiritual battle, breathing life into her through scripture. It was such a beautiful picture that inspired me. And I think it's what this core value could look like in action today. One thing I did notice about her story, and I do think is true of this value, is that we do all of life together. So this woman was telling me these stories, and they didn't just happen in her small group or on a Sunday. They happened throughout her life. Now, obviously, all of us here can't spend all every day with every church member, unfortunately, because that would be lots of fun. But, you know, we have this choice when we walk through those doors that we can put on a mask and hide the rest of our life and leave it at the door when we come through those doors. Or we can choose to at least be willing to practice wise vulnerability and to share parts of our life with each other. So I think it's more than just Sundays. I think it's all of life. Another difference I see in belonging through spiritual relationships versus other relationships is that it goes deeper than what we see just on the outside. A person here at church just recently reflected some insights to Dave and I on this, so I'm going to read you straight what she says. Before becoming a Christian, my relationships with people were formed out of something I identified with, whether it was school, work, culture, taste in music, etc. We reinforced each other's interests or commonalities, and so the friendships flourished. Primarily, this was more about me than the other person. When I first became a Christian and met people through the church, I naturally looked for these commonalities to make new friends. But in time, I found myself looking for something more. I started seeing people with God's eyes and became drawn to people who I may never have paid attention to previously. It was like God challenging me to look beyond the surface and see people as He sees them. I became more open and receptive and patient. Instead of focusing on what I could gain out of the relationship, I started to look at what I could give to it. I started to learn, and am still learning, how to love like Him. I am learning that loving people like He does is what He wants to teach us. That's how people feel belonging to a church and to His kingdom. So a spiritual relationship is one where we see beyond the surface, and we see people how God sees people. God sees us as His children, His creation. He sees each one of us as important. He sees us beyond our career choices or even some of that strange behavior that we do sometimes. God is for us. He is for you. He is for the person sitting next to you. He is for the person that maybe when you see them in the foyer, you turn and run. He's even for that person. Not that we do that, of course. Imagine our world and how it would change if we could see people through God's eyes. And the love that He has for all of these people. I actually want us to take a minute now to pause and to ask God to help us to see people as He sees people so that we can love them the way that He does. I want us to be able to look around this room at people that we love and people that we don't even know yet, people that outside of this context we may never hang out with. And I want us to try to see them how God sees them. I want us to ask God to give us what we need, because sometimes it does take an act of God. So take a minute now, and I want you to just pray and then look around with new eyes.
Father, thanks that You're a God who does miracles. And sometimes that miracle is transforming our heart so that we see people as You see them. And sometimes it's giving us courage to do something about what you're asking us. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that you're at work in us. You're transforming us, you're changing us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just the week before Easter, some of you, like me, enjoyed a Passover feast just out in the cafe area. About 110 of us there, and one of the things that really hit me again was, just as Calvin Crombie, who led us through that, he reminded us of the covenantal relationship which God has cut with Israel and also with us. That we are in covenant, we are in relationship with God. And it's not a relationship that can be broken. And that's the covenant relationship that the Jewish people experienced. And he said, you know, really, God's desire is really summed up in Exodus 25:8, where he says, that I may dwell among them. That's God's heart. That I may dwell among them. Dwell means to feel at home. To actually be there with you. You know, God is on about relationships. He's on about spiritual relationships, deeper relationships, as Emily shared there, where people experience all of who God is and what he's on about. That's what God loves. Where there's giving and there's loving, where there's serving, where there's unity, where there's that sense of being together. That's what God's on about. That's primarily what he's on about, relationships. And really, it's a reflection of who he is. It's a reflection of the Trinity. You know, the Father, Son and Holy Spirit in relationship. Someone said to me once, God's really a small group. The Trinity, the triune God, Father and Son, Holy Spirit, loving, receiving love, giving, receiving gifts. In John 1 we read this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You see, right at the beginning it says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ, with God, was God. In the Trinity. And yet he chose to step down, became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. That same word. I want to dwell with you. I want to dwell amongst you. So God didn't just sit up here. He wasn't just in a tabernacle in the desert or in a cloud or a fire. But he's now come among us in person. That's Jesus Christ, God incarnate. You know, spiritual relationships have got to take on the shape of the life of Christ. They're not just fuzzy, as Emily said, but they are grounded in real life. Jesus grounded in real life. He came amongst us, lived amongst us, experienced life with us. And I'm just thrilled that God has put that in place. We don't have to make it happen. He's put it in place. We just have to enter into it. You know, read with me from Ephesians 1. Probably one of my favourite passages, because it actually says who we are. Verse 3 we'll start. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him, in Christ, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with, not a grudgingly sort of, oh, well, I'll do it, but with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one that he loves. In him we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Do you hear the language there? All of this is in Christ. The love that Emily shared about, that's in Christ. It's because we are in Christ. He lavishes gifts on us. grace, much grace, the riches of His grace. You know, for those of us who are in Christ, it's all ours. We're blessed. Blessed. Totally blessed. We're chosen. We're adopted into His family. Did you know that God's passion, His overriding passion, is that we would be adopted into His family? That's what He wants. Above everything else, He wants to adopt us into His family. Before the world began, that was His plan. For you and I to be a part of His family, this sense of belonging and great spiritual relationship. We're redeemed. We're forgiven. You know, belonging is a done deal. It's a given. It's there. It's there to be experienced. It's there. But we don't always feel it, do we? We don't always feel it. You know, I love the pictures in the New Testament of the church. One is the picture of the body, where every part of the body is connected under the head, Christ. There's that sense of connection, of belonging. We're all important. Some might consider themselves more important, but every part of the body is important. There's a connection. We belong to each other. And the other picture that I love is the picture of family. Paul talks about that often, this family of God. It's what the church is described as. We are family. You know, one thing about family is that there is a blood connection. We are connected through the blood of Christ. There's this sense of the belonging has already been set up in Christ. It's a done deal. And so God's passion is that we enjoy and engage with Him and with all that He gives us through one another. All that He's done, all that He's doing. And also to be, as Emily read out, that reflection from the person who shared that this week with us, of seeing people with new eyes. And of giving and receiving love and giving and receiving gifts. You know, I've shared this story a few times, so forgive me if you've heard it and are sick of it. But part of my life story, I think, illustrates what we're talking about here. I came from Harvey to boarding school for a couple of years, and that certainly wasn't a belonging through spiritual relationships that I experienced anyway. I'd become a Christian just before coming to Perth. And then I went to university. I lived in a university college just opposite UWA there. And I had a room and I had a few mates that we used to get on well with. And I used to drift along to this church when it was down in the old building, and I was connected a little bit through basketball. But primarily I was very lonely. And I remember after 18 months, it was about August 1974, I was 19 years old. And I remember one day getting back to my room. That's all I had. I never had a sense of I could drop in on anyone. I didn't know anyone really well enough to drop in on them. So this Ephesians 1, even though it was a reality, it certainly wasn't a reality for me at that point. I remember getting into my room and saying out loud, I thought, I'm just going to chuck Christianity out the window and I'm going to do what all my mates are doing and have a good time. And they weren't doing things which would be glorifying to God. But they seemed like they were having a good time. And yeah, God spoke to me right at that point. As a rebellious teenager. He said, you can't because it's true. And I thought, bother me, of course it's true. I knew this Christianity thing was true. But I said, but it ain't working for me. And I really sensed God just met me at that point. And He gave me a picture. He said, you're at this level here. And I thought, if I chuck Christianity out the window and go and do what all my mates are doing, I'm probably going to have to go down here a bit. But I thought, because even in my irrational state, I thought, because it is true, I'm going to have to come back through this point to achieve anything in my life. And I remember thinking several things. One was, that's dumb. Because what might happen down here could be disastrous. I could make some decisions here in my chucking Christianity out the window and doing what my mates are doing. I could make some decisions down here which could have some awful consequences. And that would create a lot of baggage that I'm now carrying around. So I thought to myself, that is really not smart. So I might as well go this way. I might as well just go this way now. And you know, the thing that came to me when I asked myself, what does that look like? This Christian thing is not working, but what I realized was one thing it looks like to go that way, I have to connect with Christian young people. You see, previously I hadn't really. I'd made the assumptions that they didn't really want me around. It was a wrong assumption, but I made that assumption. And so we used to have a young adults group that met on a Tuesday night at South Perth, and so I started going along to that. And I started to enter into this sense of spiritual relationships. Now, they weren't perfect, but I had a sense of belonging and friendships that took me into new areas of life. And everything wasn't rosy from then on, but my life basically went that way. And I think if I had gone down here, I probably wouldn't be standing here today. By the grace of God, I made a decision which was smart, and I chose to move towards, the only thing I knew I could do was move towards some Christian young people. And it changed my life. You know, no matter how many times you've been hurt or disappointed by the church or by people, by groups, can I encourage you, go again. Go again. Go again. You know, it just hit me this morning that Satan loves to rob us of what is rightfully ours. We're in Christ. We have this belonging all set up. And Satan loves to rob us and steal from us anything of that. And I'm just aware what I felt and what I often did feel back then was I'm a nothing. I'm not worth much. So I was hoping for belonging, but I definitely wasn't thinking that I've got something to offer anyone else. And yet as I made that as I took that initiative and made a move towards people, over a period of time I realized that I got something to offer people as well. Because that sense of belonging released me. And Satan loves to rob us of that. He wants you to believe the lie that you've got nothing to offer people. Why would people want to talk to you? I've had people say that to me. Why would people want to talk with me? That is a lie. You've got a lot to offer. You're in Christ. Everything Christ is given to you because he's in you as well. So don't believe and live out the lie that you've got not much to offer people. Don't allow the fear and the rejection of the past to hold you back. Take a step forward. Go for it. Take the initiative. At least create the space where you can experience the reality of spiritual relationships. It's what God is on about. Just go for it. Have a shot. Go again. I mean, I was talking to someone this week, and just a lady who's been through a lot of stuff in her life, and she was just talking about the home group that she's a part of and how that has been such a safe place for her and such a place of refuge because they love her and they have prayed for her in the midst of all the mess that she's in. I thought, that's what it's about. But it's not just in a home group. You know, I love my small group too, where we engage in the word and prayer and we journal and we pray for each other. I love that. But I love also when I might run under people on a Monday or a Wednesday and just hear something of what's going on in their life and to pray into their life then. It's not just a group time. But sometimes we need a group to actually help us to feel safe, even though the last 10 you've been in have not worked for you. Go again. Give it a shot. And I love the verse in Romans 1 where Paul says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Mutually encouraged. So Paul is saying, I want to be with you as a church in Rome so that I can give you some spiritual gift to make you strong, but there's that mutual encouragement of faith. And that's what we are set up for. That's what the belonging in Christ is all about. We're set up to do that. But Satan robs us of that. He robs us of that. Can I encourage you even this morning to look at how can I mutually encourage another person? How can I encourage someone? I was chatting to a friend this week, one of the younger guys in our church, and he said, I was with a group of people that I don't normally hang out with. He said, I noticed a few other people there who were somewhat new as well. Not long into the group, a conversation, one of the regulars in the group brought up a bike ride that the group was planning the next day, and then a few of the people invited just started talking about the ride. You know the picture? You know, the few people are in the know and a few people are not in the know. They're chatting about this bike ride and others are feeling like, oh, that sounds good. Immediately there was an invisible wall around the group, very clearly separating myself and the other new people. And yeah, you felt this wall at times, haven't you? Where an event is being discussed and there's not an invitation to you. Makes you feel like you don't belong. Then the person who brought up the topic about the bike ride said, oh, by the way, we're going on a bike ride tomorrow. You guys, we'd love you to come along. It'd be great if you could make it. And my friend said, that smashed the wall. Smashed it. And suddenly all of us felt involved and a huge step closer to belonging. So you got those couple of situations where, like my story, I felt like I had nothing going for me. And yet I chose to move towards young people who are Christians and I found that that belonging started to be an experience of mine. And then you've got this one when someone who is in the group, whatever that might look like, makes a call and says, oh, by the way, you guys are welcome and invited as well. It's always about initiative. It's about taking the initiative and moving towards people. But the belonging has been set up in Christ. You know, you might be here this morning and you're not in Christ. You've never given your life to Christ. Many of you have. And as I look around, I know that many of you have been hurt as well. Some of you have been hurt. But those of you that are not in Christ, you've never given your life to Christ. I want you to know this is for you as well. This is for you. All that is described in Ephesians 1 is for you. God's passion is for you to come into His family. He wants you to experience all that He's got. He wants you to do that. I mean, Christ died for you to do that. At the center of all truly Christian spiritual relationships will be the cross. The cross is there. You know, the more one suffers in unconditional sacrificial love for another person, the more truly spiritual the relationship will be. Now, we talked about war before. Unconditional, sacrificial, giving for another person. But obviously the one we focus on this morning is Jesus. The one who gave His life that we might live. And so that we can help other people to enjoy His life as well. Now, Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates His love for us and that even when we were sinners, we were enemies of His, Christ died for us. It's one thing to die for a friend. It's one thing to love sacrificially a close friend, but to do it for an enemy, well, that takes it to another level. But for today, how about we just focus on the next step for us? You don't have to jump from 1 to 10, all right? It's the next step. But at this point, we're going to have communion. And communion is a great picture of a spiritual relationship that we have with Christ. Because He died and He poured out His life for us. So let's pray. Father, today we are very mindful of Your love. Again, we would love it for the DNA of this church to be a 10 out of 10 in sacrificial, unconditional love. So we want to pray that in, Lord. But we want to also thank You that we have a 10 out of 10 sacrificial, unconditional love demonstrated by You for us. And we want to thank You for Your love. I want to thank You that it's higher than the heavens. I want to thank You that it's just enormous. And Father, I pray that more and more we will trust You in that. We will enjoy being in relationship with You, and the enjoyment will overflow to other people. So, Father, as we share in communion now, as we remember Jesus, I pray that You would touch our lives in a new way. Touch our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So communion will be served. Take it in your own time. And again, reflect on, as you do, Jesus, but also what is it that he's speaking to you about right at this moment?